There's a reason we voted for you for chairman.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. I feel better about it.
All right, good morning. We'll open up the Public Service Commission special meeting that we have scheduled for this morning. We have three items on the agenda. Two of them will be at open meeting. We have one towards the end that will close as part of attorney consultation in litigation, and we'll go through that motion when we need to at the appropriate time. What I'm going to propose that we do, because we have a discussion matter potentially on item number one that's listed on the agenda, which is case number PU08932, is without objection, I'll flip-flop the order of the motions that we have in front of us and take number 2-1 because that's one that I don't think there is a great deal of discussion about, and then we'll do number one second.
I would concur.
Okay.
No problem here.
Okay, taking up item number 2, I move the commission issue a corrected notice of filing and notice of hearing in the application of MDU Company for a waiver of procedures and time schedules, a corridor certificate, and a route permit to construct approximately 30 miles of 230 kV electric transmission line and associated facilities in McIntosh and Dickey Counties, North Dakota, case number PU01146.
Second.
I failed to do this up front. I should note for the record that we're making, as well as anyone who's listening in, that this is Commission Chairman Tony Clark. I am joined here at the 12th floor of the State Capitol Commission hearing room by my fellow commissioners, Kevin Kramer and Brian Kalk. The corrected notice of filing and notice of hearing is just to move the date and location of a hearing that the commission had previously discussed. This is for the 230 kV transmission line in McIntosh and Dickey Counties, North Dakota. It is to hook up the Maricourt wind farm, which we're going to be discussing in the next motion, and it will be set for April 15th, 2011 at the Dickey County Courthouse in Ellendale at, 1 o'clock?
All in favor?
Aye. 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 All right, moving to item number one, and there has been some paperwork that our attorney on this, Mitch Armstrong, just circulated to the commission. I don't know if others have had a chance to review it yet or not. I have not. Perhaps the way we'll handle this is to move the item first, which will open it up then for discussion, and we can discuss as well as hear from our attorneys and others in attendance. I move the commission issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in the application of an Exco Development Corporation for a certificate of site compatibility to authorize a construction of a proposed 150-megawatt wind energy conversion facility in Dickey and McIntosh counties of North Dakota, case number PU-08-932.
Second.
Okay. First of all, as a matter of explanation for those who aren't up to speed on this, and this is all in some discussions that I and I think the other commissioners have had with staff. This has been the first time that we as a commission have had an opportunity to discuss it at a notice meeting. We have previously held a hearing on the Maricourt wind power project. And when the commission scheduled that hearing, the first thought that we had was, of course, Ashley. The problem was we knew that this would be a fairly well-attended hearing, and we've not had great luck securing facilities in Ashley that accommodate that. The courtroom, when it's available, is fairly small. And in the past, we've been bumped from that, and then you end up in a very small room, which doesn't accommodate anything more than really the attorneys for the parties as well as the commission. The school would be okay, but during the school year, that's not an acceptable alternative. So we next looked to meet the intent of the law at the next closest facility, which was Edgeley. Well, we went ahead and held the hearing at Edgeley, and afterwards, we discovered that it came to our attention that Edgeley's in Lemoore County, just over the line, technically under the law, it has to be in either Dickey or McIntosh County. So even though it was the most convenient location for people to get to and the most adequate facility in the area, it didn't meet the technical standard of the law, which is that it had to be in one of those two counties. Ellendale would really be the other feasible option. It's further than Edgeley and further than Ashley, but in order to meet the standard in the law, we do have to hold it within one of those two counties. So the motion that's in front of us would simply reschedule this for the same day as the MDU transmission line hearing. As I understand it, the procedure that we can use, which would expedite this quite a bit, is the hearing itself that we previously held was a transcript was actually developed. We had a court reporter there, thank goodness. And that document can just be submitted as evidence to the commission. And then it is fully incorporated into the case. The company could give a brief overview of the presentation that was previously given, and then there would be an opportunity for the public to, again, testify if they so wished. And then the standard of the law would be met as well as the spirit of the law. This would, as I indicated in the motion, if we were to meet all of the timelines that are established in the law with regard to notice for a public meeting, we would need to hold it at the earliest probably on the 15th of April. We've received word from Anexco that they have some concerns about holding it on the 15th of April because they have some contractual deadlines that are coming up at the end of March, March 31st, some contractual deadlines with XL, who's going to be the purchaser of the power from the Maricourt project. So because of that, we have a request for an expedited hearing that's in front of the commission. And at this point, I would ask Mitch Armstrong, who's our attorney on this, to provide any comments or an overview. And then we can hear from applicant as well.
Thank you, Commissioner
Sharpe. You might need to turn your mirror. Yeah.
Thank you. Commissioners, I did what I provided to the commission just as the meeting was getting going. Were just copies of the request for expedited hearing that I received last night so that the commission had it in front of them. Basically, what we have is a request to shorten the time frame for the notice of hearing under the statute in the case of an emergency at the request of an Anexco. And, the underlying facts of that would have to be explained by an Anexco, I believe, but that's the request that's in front of us at this point in time. I think we, as Commissioner Clark commented, we have to have the hearing in one of the two counties, and I don't think we have any other option but to hold another hearing at this point in time.
You know, if I could, before we hear from an Anexco, I mean, what's the standard for an emergency?
The commission's discretion.
Okay.
4922. Yes. 13. I'll give you some background. I've done some research yesterday and last night into what is meant by emergency. Mm. In this section of the code, there is no definition of emergency. In other sections of the code, an emergency is defined as, what you would expect it to be defined as, threatens of loss of life, limb, property. Those definitions I don't think particularly apply here. The section we're dealing with specifically says, and it's section 4922.13, in an emergency, the commission, in its discretion, may notice a hearing upon less than 20 days. That's kind of the extent of the explanation in the statute, and there's really no further explanation in the rules. I looked up in various dictionaries the definition of emergency, and I think we all, have an idea what it is, but, lawyers look to paper and try to see what it says somewhere, and what I found is, a sudden occurrence and, things of that. So really, if it's an emergency situation in this commission's discretion and its policy judgment, then a hearing may be noticed on less than 20 days.
Okay. If I could, I'll give you my thoughts right up front, gentlemen, is that I don't see this as an emergency. I mean, we've already potentially have a case where we missed a letter of the law the first time around. I think that we should go through due notification and make sure that all the folks that have the opportunity to say their piece are at that hearing. by us moving it up, that implies that we're going to approve it. And I'm still waiting for some information on the whipping crane data, and there's other things out there that I'm not sure that moving this forward is the right thing. My opinion of emergency is emergency life, limb, or something is going on that we need to do this much more quickly. So I think that's where I'll come down on this one.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Maybe we should hear from applicant at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and commissioners, and council and staff. Eric Swanson on behalf of Anexco. I have been admitted pro hoc vice for this proceeding. With me is Jeff Nelson from the Vogel Law Firm. And directly to my left is Hank Cagle, who's a contracts manager with Anexco. First of all, I want to say thank you to you and to council and staff for allowing us to get on the calendar this morning. We first became aware of this issue a little less than 24 hours ago, and we are very grateful for the speed with which this has been brought forward and with the opportunity to be here. Briefly, the reason that we find ourselves in this situation is a series of unfortunate events. As we look back, Anexco on this project, on the Maricourt project, endeavored to put together as rigorous an analysis as we possibly could. We brought forward, we think, a very, very complete application and supporting studies back the first week of October. We were originally going to have the hearing, as you'll recall, in December, also in Edgeley, whether we would have discovered the technical issue then earlier or not, I guess, is for all of us to wonder about. But that hearing ended up getting canceled because of a blizzard that occurred the day before the hearing. So we ended up rescheduled for February 10th, and then yesterday we were informed that there was this potential glitch in the location. So it's really two unfortunate events that have conspired to put us in the situation that we're in. The reason that we filed the request for an expedited hearing, we do think it meets the letter of the code. I agree with Mr. Armstrong. There is not much guidance for you in determining what is an emergency, but the code clearly does give you the discretion to notice a hearing on less than 20 days. In this instance, we do have contractual obligations with our off-taker, NSP, that will put the project in serious jeopardy of going forward. Essentially, if we are not able to meet our obligations by March 31st, the ball is in NSP's court, and we lose control. And we think this project is too important to the area. We think there are too many benefits that come from the project to put the project at that risk, and that's why we came here today.
Here's my question that spurred, because I know you relayed that to staff. And David, I don't know if XL's prepared to talk about this morning or not, or we can get information on this later, but XL already has an advanced determination of prudence on this wind farm. They have a certificate of need from this commission on this wind farm. If there's reason to believe that XL is getting cold feet on the project, then I have a more serious question that goes not to Anexco but to XL, which is, why aren't you before this commission right now talking to us about concerns that you have on a project that you sought an ADP from us and sought a certificate of need from us? Because we haven't heard that from XL. And that is a big concern for me. But again, that's not Anexco's issue. That's an XL issue. Does the fact that they have an ADP and a certificate of need and probably a fairly cranky commission if they aren't informing us of things that they should be informing us of, does that give Anexco any comfort that, you know, a two-week delay is going to be acceptable or not at least a terrible risk to the project?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the observations, and as you said, we obviously can't speak for XL. Unfortunately, the answer, I think, has to be no, because despite those things that you've mentioned and that we do understand and appreciate, NSP would have the contractual ability to terminate April 1, and there's nothing that we can do as an EXCO to prevent that, mm-hmm. other than come before you and do everything we can to get the hearing expedited. That's why we're here. This is the portion of it that we can control, and that's about the only portion of it that we can.
Yeah. If there is some worry out there for ratepayers, and who knows what XL's concern is with the project, I mean, should that send up red flags for the commission, though, on the other hand, where we'd say, well, gosh, if they're you know, concerned about whatever issue, maybe it's a ratepayer issue, maybe not, should we be allowing basically an artificial deadline, but a legal deadline, to impact the siting process in a way that locks in ratepayers when they may not think it's in ratepayers' best interest?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think so. For the reasons that you've said, this has been reviewed both by this commission and by the Minnesota Commission. The benefits of the project, I think, are clearly laid out in the record, and you know this also isn't a situation where there was defective notice. Where there's been defective process to date. We did have, we understand why you selected the hearing site you selected. We had a full hearing room.
Right.
And we wouldn't have had that other places. And while only two people took the opportunity at that hearing to address the commission, certainly I know you encouraged, the judge encouraged, we encouraged anyone there to get up and speak their piece. So we don't think, both from a regulatory standpoint and from just a good public policy standpoint, there's reason to be concerned on this one. But we certainly continue to have the contractual concern.
Yeah, I mean, and I appreciate that. I mean, I think this is one of those rare cases where, citing law, the letter of the law may be thwarting the intent of the law, which is to provide as much public access as we can, and to meet the letter of the law, we actually, in some ways, are restricting a bit of public access by either having it in a venue that can't hold it or a further distance away. But be that as it may, I do tend to share some of the concerns that the Commissioner Call had, in that an emergency to me is it's reliability, it's safety, it's damage to life and property. It might be some overriding cost concern for ratepayers themselves that might come into effect, and I'm not sure if a contractual deadline in a developer's timeline meets that standard. We might be setting ourselves up for some problems further on down the line, where we do run into these things with all sorts of siting cases, and then we have set a precedent where an emergency is defined as the contract terms that a developer has entered into with a utility or some other party.
I might even take it a step further and suggest that by granting this exception in light of XL's silence, we in some respects created an emergency, because XL is a North Dakota utility selling electricity to North Dakotans, and this could have ratepayer impact. So I'm very uncomfortable with XL's silence, quite honestly. If they want this to go forward, I don't know why a new contract extension would be difficult. With regard to what constitutes an emergency in our discretion, I'm looking at Mitch. I do wonder, I mean, what are we to read into the lack of direction or the lack of specificity in this particular part of the code? I mean, are we to read into that the legislature or the policymakers wanted us to have enough discretion to consider something like this an emergency?
The way the courts look at it, Commissioner Kramer, is they will look in the code to see where emergency is otherwise defined. Okay. The closest place in the code I could find is the next title, 4923, which defines it essentially along lines of loss of life, limb, property, the stuff the commission's been talking about. When it's not clearly defined in the code, and or that definition may not apply to this section, then they usually go to the common usage, and courts will cite dictionaries for that, which is why I mentioned that I looked in dictionaries earlier. And
sure.
Emergency can be a broad term. You know, I think, you know, what I see in dictionaries is a sudden, unexpected occurrence. What I see in the code sections are more serious type of loss of life or limb or property type of situations.
I might even feel a little differently if we were up against a construction deadline or something that would delay this to the point where the project missed out on a production tax credit or something like that that had impact on ratepayers and on the projects. But a contractual arrangement, especially with one of the utilities we regulate, frankly, is just a little unnerving to me. Although I want to find a way to do this. I really do. I want to find a way to have this project done, but I don't want to find a way to do it if Xcel is given whatever circumstances there might be, including economic or power need changes or what, you know, energy need changes. If they're less than, you know, warm to it.
Sure, go ahead,
Mr. Chair. If I might, we understand the commission's reasonable concerns about what precedent you're setting here. But it's hard to imagine a more unique set of facts as well. I mean, what we have in this instance is a project with broad public support that delivers significant benefits to the area, that has been as rigorously studied, I think, as any wind power project that's come before the commission, and that was going to have an order issued within the next couple weeks until we found out that there was a technical glitch that needed to be covered. I do think if the commission does find in its discretion to notice the hearing with less than 20 days, the unique facts of this situation are not going to tie your hands going forward. I think we're all surprised we find ourselves in this situation on this project, and I'd be very surprised if you find yourselves in a similar situation.
You know, I have to agree with you. And thank you for reiterating that point. This was, in my time here, was perhaps the most thorough application I've ever seen, and most well executed on the part of both the legal team as well as the environmental team and engineering team. So, you're right about that. It was very well done, and you're also right. There was a very well attended hearing, and the fact that so few people got up to speak at a hearing is generally a good sign. It demonstrates their interest and also their confidence. When they show up but don't testify. So I would agree with all that. I'm still not sure it's compelling enough to declare an emergency, but.
Do you want to take a stab understanding that you're not speaking for Xcel, but relaying what an Exco believes and Xcel's concerns are, or do you not want to?
Mr. Chair, I just don't think that's fair for me to do, and I can't put myself in their shoes.
Okay. Thoughts from the commission?
Well, I said my piece earlier on it, the first part, but I guess Commissioner Kramer's viewpoint of if Xcel Energy would try to use this as a way to not build a project, I mean, that's I hope that's not the road that we're going on by their not saying anything. I mean, this to me is a two-week extension of a project that they clearly need. They came in front of this commission and said they needed it. It doesn't make sense to me. It seems to me that they would come back with any contract extension they needed to get this project online.
Unless they find themselves not needing it, and then...
Then they should come back in front of us another reason.
Yeah, but that would be the... I mean, that was my comment about
yes,
it.
Yeah.
If there's a concern that's been expressed to an Exco, it should have at least been expressed
yes,
as early to the project developer as it is to the commission. I mean, there shouldn't be... If a utility company has reason to believe that they have concern over a project, any project, that has an advanced determination of prudence, any need certificate, both granted in it, then they have to be delivering the same message to the developer as they're delivering to the commission, and that is, for me, a big concern.
And they wonder where the ADP law got tweaked downstairs.
So the motion that is before us then is to notice a hearing on April 15th. So I guess that's
the motion.
The up or down is on that. Okay.
And I appreciate the concern. I think it was as well argued as it could be. But as far as just a standard of law, I'm reluctant to granted as an emergency.
Well, and I'm not sure that by having the hearing the 15th, that doesn't mean you can't meet the timeline. Is it that hard fast that if we, after the hearing, we get all the stuff we got to get done? I mean, that's, I'm still quite.
I mean, I actually, I think the order.
We could almost vote that afternoon if it works out.
I think you almost, I mean, if the order is done, if we receive no new information.
That's right.
At the hearing that would change the, you know, commission's mind, I actually think it's one of those rare instances where you could vote the order out that afternoon. I'd want to check with our attorneys to make sure that that's all.
I guess that was my thoughts on the thing.
Fine, but I mean, I don't think there's any reason. Now, I understand that
the
contract says March 31st, not April 15th, but as far as a time delay, I don't think it's a long time delay that would be needed at all. Because, right, the hearing record was fully developed.
It'll have no impact on the construction season, so.
Right. It is purely a matter between XL and the Nexco that drives it.
So if we notice, if we pass this motion, notice the hearing for April 15th, then it's on the books until we hear otherwise if there should be.
And it would seem to me that if they're not, XL isn't willing to extend the contract, they should be coming back in front of us before that.
Well, we'll know, I'm sure.
Okay. Motion's before us.
All in favor?
Aye. Motion carries. All right, let's move to the third item on the agenda, and for this I will need to make a motion.
And thank you again, Mr. Chair, Commissioners,
thank
and
you.
Council.
Thank you
for
coming out. Thank you.
Tony, I'm wondering, do you want to take questions before we go to this?
Yeah, let's do it. And this, Dave, you
since
hang Dave, or if you want to, I do not anticipate that we'll be taking any action on the executive session item today. We'll just be discussing it. So, Dave, you don't need to hang around for any other item.
No, I just have a couple questions just to clarify. Who actually set the hearing for Edgley?
Well, the hearing is always actually set by the commission itself. And
I was just going to say, is it the commission's mistake that it was set there?
Yes.
I think ultimately it is. The recalling our discussion about setting the hearing, and we usually just do that in our administrative portions of the agenda, I think the first comment was, well, should we hold it in Ashley? And one of us, I don't know if it was me or Kevin, we said, look, we've done a number of hearings in Ashley. This one we anticipate to be one of significant interest and well attended, and we just didn't have the facilities in Ashley to hold it. We've had one in the courthouse courtroom, and in that one the hearing was fairly well attended, and we literally had people sitting in the judges' chairs and in the jury boxes, and it was just not a very conducive format. Although we then later had a separate hearing on a different case where we thought, well, we'll hold it in the courtroom again. The problem with holding it in courtrooms is you're always subject to getting bumped by the court. In that case, we were bumped by the court. They had a trial that came up, and we ended up in the commission meeting room at the McIntosh County Courthouse, and that's very small. It literally has room only for the commission, our attorney, the ALJ, and then the attorneys for the applicant. And so you wouldn't have any opportunity for public comment other than people sort of sitting out somewhere in the hallway, which is what happened one time. It was I think, an embarrassment for the commission to not have a proper facility. We have held meetings at the Ashley City Hall, which is, again, a very small room, would not accommodate it. The school would be an adequate facility, but it's during the school year, so we weren't able to hold it there. So the question was, well, what's the next closest town? And the next closest town, in fact, it may even be a little closer than Ashley, although it's probably fairly equidistant, is Edgley, which has a facility to hold the type of crowd that we were looking for. And so that's, we just went ahead and did it there, and I think it wasn't until just a few days ago that someone noticed that although it's the project comes very close to Lemoore County, there is technically no footprint within Lemoore County, which presents a challenge. And I think it where we noticed it was when the MDU transmission line application came in and we were trying to pick a spot. Then this issue of which county to hold it in came up, and we noticed that Edgeley was not going to be an available site. So Ellendale is the next closest community that has facilities that can handle a hearing of this size. It's a bit further and a little tougher for folks to get to, but it meets the standard of the law. And that's why I said before, this was an honest attempt to meet the fullest intent of the law, which is to make these hearings as easy and accessible for people to get to and easy to participate. But in meeting the intent of the law, the standard of the law is it has to be within the county physically, even if it's a more inconvenient location.
Could you have used that as an excuse to say, yeah, we made a mistake, we see this as an emergency?
I don't believe so. The standard in the law for emergency is not terribly well defined. We have some discretion as a commission, but the reality is that, to me, an emergency is life, limb, property, extraordinary costs, reliability of the system. There are things like that which clearly are an emergency. This isn't. This is really a delay of 2 weeks during a part of the season when you can't do any construction anyway. So there's no actual emergency that exists. The only discrepancy that exists is there is this artificial contract date between NXCO and XL, and apparently some of the rights within the terms of the contract change as of March 31st, but that's not an emergency to the public. It's not an emergency to ratepayers. It's not an emergency to the reliability of the system. That's an artificial deadline between a utility company and a developer, and just doesn't meet the standard of law for an emergency, I don't believe.
Yet you have a big question out there. What is XL's intent on this, which has not yet been answered?
That has not yet been answered, and to me that's the biggest question in this entire case. Is if you were just looking at this from any objective perspective, you would say a two-week delay during a non-construction part of the season is not a big deal. XL has come before this commission and argued for an advanced determination of prudence. In other words, they were so solid on this particular project that they wanted the commission to determine in advance that it was a prudent project. Now, remember that the way our law reads is if it's built in state, the presumption is that it is a prudent project. But nonetheless, which means it's a high hurdle to disprove that it's prudent. But be that as it may, XL went the extra step and actually filed for an advanced determination of prudence. They filed for a certificate of public convenience and necessity, which means that they believe, and at least as far as this commission is concerned, continues to believe that this is a needed project and a prudent project. Now, if they're sending other signals to the project developer and they're not telling this commission that they have concerns about a project that they've said they need and that they've said is prudent, then that is a big concern, and that's something we need to address with XL. But if they still believe it's needed and prudent, then there's no reason that a two-week delay should be any issue whatsoever.
So I'm going to ask the question, does the commission have any power to ask XL to respond to that directly?
Yes. And we'll be asking them that.
I'm quite confident we'll hear from them. But I do say, I would say, Dave, this whole situation does highlight, I don't want to call it a conflict, but certainly a complication with a commission that has both regulatory economic authority on one hand and then this environmental siting authority on the other hand. They really are two completely different cases. But we would be, you know, pretty foolish if we were to pretend one didn't exist while we're deciding another. So, and the irony in all this, or the interesting part of all this, is that there have been attempts, to give us even more, some more authority over generation and transmission and whatnot, and it gets very complicated when the judge and jury is also the economic regulator, if you will, on some of these things. So it's certainly interesting, to say the least. But the ball really, in my view, the ball really is in XL Energy's court. While I would like to see this project built and done, I'm not in any mood to bully them into, you know, accepting the delay there. If there's a good reason not to, we want to hear about it.
But you'd just like to have that information.
We certainly should have it.
So do you?
What I don't like, I will though add, is getting that information from the project developer,
yeah, right,
as opposed to the utility. Now, it's one thing had Xcel not already sought a certificate of need and had not already sought an advance determination of prudence. If it's just the utility company working with project developers to meet needs, and then they're going to be coming into the commission at some point for certificates of need and determinations of prudence or cost recovery, then the commission doesn't necessarily need to be notified of those types of discussions. But when we've already gone through these cases, that is an issue if we're hearing it from the developers, not the utility themselves.
But I also want to be fair, too, because while all of that is true, and I completely agree with Commissioner Clark, for the last several years, this commission in its advocacy role and certainly other elected officials in North Dakota have been fairly pointed with Xcel Energy with regard to their lack of energy generation in North Dakota when we're a major producing state. And so, you know, on the one hand, we've sort of been, the state in general has been sort of lobbying Xcel to come on, make some investment here. And then, you know, so we realize we're all in this together, I guess is the way I'd put it.
One former commissioner was very strong.
Yes, she was. I had her in my eyes, you know. But anyway.
So just one other point. If you hear a story on the radio this afternoon and Xcel comments to me before he comments, you will be a bit miffed?
We'll be proud of you, Dave. Oh.
I know where it's going to get me at this point. So.
All right. Any other questions?
I am willing to be kicked out now.
Yeah, okay.
Very good. We'll record it in case you have questions later.
We're nothing if not transparent, as you know, Dave. Right. This is, in fact, this is the first time I think we've ever done this since I've been on the commission. I don't know whether we've ever had an executive session, even with.
I've had one once.
We might have negotiated a.
I have had one once, but what was it?
Was it an insolvency?
It was before you were on the commission. Okay. It was MDU Electric when we lowered their rates fairly substantially. It was due to off-system sales. They challenged us and then got a remand out of the district court, and we went into executive session to decide what we'd do from there, whether we'd appeal or come out with a new order.
We almost did it once or twice, I think, since I've been on. I don't know that we've ever done it.
Okay,
cool. All right.
I must ask, so before I go,
mm-hmm,
you will be locking this door, I assume.
Actually, you can stay in for a little bit because I have to actually make a motion here.
I'll wait till I make a motion.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is to discuss with legal counsel and staff the purpose of attorney consultation, an offer from the bonding company for completing the 2010 Beekler-Velva AML project case number AM-10-37. At this time, a motion would be in order to discuss the next topic in executive session rather than an open meeting. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries.
Does that require roll call?
Well, it says roll call, but I think we could use unanimous.
Okay,
so, and you don't even have to leave yet. This gets even better. The executive session will be recorded, and all members of the governing body are reminded to limit their discussion during the executive session to the announced topic. Any collective decision, collective commitment, or other final action by the governing body must occur after it reconvenes in an open meeting unless final action is specifically required by law to be taken during the executive session. The prohibition on taking final action during the executive session does not apply to providing guidance or instructions to our attorney or negotiator. We will now ask members of the public who are attending the meeting to leave the room. We anticipate adjourning the executive session and reconvening the open portion of the meeting. It says at approximately 11 a.m. this morning, which is probably still about right, but we do not anticipate taking any action at that time. We'll just close the meeting. The minutes will show that the executive session began at 10:45 and was attended by North Dakota Public Service Commissioners Kevin Kramer, Tony Clark, and Brian Kalk, along with Mitch Armstrong, Mark Grumman, James Deutsch, Bill Dodd, Mark Nell, and Esther Jangula. Do you folks want to be included, Steve and Scott? Okay, then we will ask you to excuse yourselves. And Daryl? The meeting minutes will show executive session. Okay, we'll get to that later.